Hey friend, today's guest is Nosheen Chen. Nosheen comes from the Fortune 50 world, where she managed marketing and training at Procter & Gamble. She took several twists and turns in her career, exploring filmmaking and improv and startup bootstrapping to $1 million in revenue. Now she's found her true purpose and calling in life, which is sharing her passion for speaking in public and teaching others to impress and make an impact when they speak. Nosheen has helped over 80 leaders in 6 countries speak confidently on stage and on camera. And today she's about to give you expert insights on how communications can change your career and your life. We'll talk about the difference between a mediocre speaker and an excellent speaker. We'll also share what are the 2 components that make up a powerhouse speaker, and you'll get a 1-minute tip that will drastically improve your communication skills. Let's go ahead and get started with today's episode. Let's just start at the very beginning. Oftentimes we hear of folks when they already have a platform or they've been speaking for a long time, but very, very seldom do we begin amazing speakers. And so start us at the very beginning and tell us a little about yourself.
Sure. So you know that annoying kid who always gets up on stage in front of the whole family and starts reciting the most boring poem ever? I used to be that annoying kid. I have been in love with speaking in front of people ever since I can remember, but absolutely does not mean I was good at it from the beginning. I've just been in love with that idea since I was a little kid. It just took me a very long time to figure out that this is what I'm meant to be doing in life as a calling. I started off in a very vanilla, boring corporate way. I was at Procter & Gamble for 5 years doing marketing and PR. So definitely got a start in communications. I actually also ended up becoming one of the youngest communication skills trainers while I was there. But no light bulbs went off. I absolutely did not think like, oh, this could be something I could do in life. No, marketing and PR. And the training was on the side. But speaking at events, at coffee shops, at pretty much any stage I could find has been this common thread in my life. After P&G, I got into many different things, improv, stand-up comedy, filmmaking. I was a filmmaker for 7 years. It was never on the cards. It was never my dream. I just meandered into it and realized that the only part of filmmaking that resonated with me was working with my on-screen talent, whether it was, you know, the actors or CEOs who were speaking on camera for the first time. That was my absolute favorite part. I could not care less about the commercial we were making, about selling the actual product. I was like, I have to do this, but I really don't want to. But, oh, I'm going to pump up these people to speak well and bring out their passion and bring out their energy. I still didn't realize that was something I was meant to do. So that's why I was a filmmaker for 7 years, so long, and just happened last year. So it's pretty recent for me when I was having a conversation with my husband and I was really, really sad about where my career was going. I knew I didn't want to be a filmmaker anymore, but I didn't know what else to do. And he said, you know, you love speaking. Why don't you try doing that for a living? And I said, no, you ought to be kidding me. Like, who's going to pay me to speak, or who's going to pay me to help them speak? What? This is crazy talk. But fortunately, I ended up trying it out anyway. And turns out a lot of people really want to get better at speaking well, like you were saying, at work, in interviews, doing presentations, even doing things like sales calls, doing things like presentations on a bigger stage outside of their company to external audiences. There's a lot of speaking going on and a lot of bad speaking. So it does seem like I am needed.
You absolutely are needed. You absolutely are needed. It impacts everything. You know, there's this saying that I'm sure I got it somewhere in my mind. I made it up, but I'm sure I got it somewhere. Where it's, possession is 9/10 of the law, but perception is 9/10 of the decision, right? And so how we're perceived impacts like the message that we give. We may think we're giving a message, but how we deliver it means a completely different, you know, message was communicated. Okay, so you've got this amazing story. We've learned kind of how you came through this process. Before we hop into all the great insights that you have and that you've been sharing on LinkedIn, by the way, if you're listening right now, you've got to head over to Nasheen's LinkedIn. I'll put it in the description. I mean, she does such a phenomenal job. Let's just say her account, and I'm just going to tell you right now, okay, your account is the account that I was like, oh, LinkedIn can be fun. I can do LinkedIn.
Aw, thank like you. That's
awesome. That was your account. You're doing an amazing job. I absolutely love your content. So check her out, Nasheen Chen. But before we hop into kind of like all the insights you have to share, you went through this process. And I remember because I went back, cyberstalk moment. Okay. I went back and I do this often where I will look and be like, okay, let's see like before when they had 1, 2, 3 likes, right? Let's go back to that moment and just seeing the evolution that I think is important, not just for someone creating content on LinkedIn or creating their own business, but even in their own career, right? This evolution of I started, and when I started, I maybe didn't have a ton of traction, but here's the process of me getting better. And it just so happens mm-hmm. that now on social media, we can go back and see what that looks like. But how would you describe your sort of evolution of your communication style?
On LinkedIn?
I mean, let's start with LinkedIn, but I'm also curious like how we can just as humans, right? Career professionals or business, but how that evolves and how we can stick through it because most people stop before they get to that really good space.
Yeah, that's such a great question. I'll talk off LinkedIn first because mm-hmm. I bring a lot of experience from the offline real world into LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I've been speaking in many different ways, do big audiences, somewhat big audiences, depends, from the age of maybe 19 or 20. My first job was at a radio station. So I was doing my own radio show when I was still in college. This was public radio, not college radio. And that was really my first exposure to the world of speaking. I would say that I am one who's definitely learned things the hard and long way. It's like the opposite of what I do with my clients. I did not get any coaching. I did not get any formal training except for workshops and except for being trained as a trainer. But I wouldn't say I got the kind of coaching that I give people now. So mm-hmm. I would say that my speaking style just organically evolved over time. And I found my comfort zone. I found my area of comfort, which was talking to an audience and getting that reaction and knowing that I'm reaching someone through my words. For me, one of the biggest things was being myself, really showing myself. So like I was telling you, I've done a lot of improv and comedy. So I'm used to performing and I like bringing that aspect into my work, not in the sense of being fake. But when I speak, I want you to feel like I'm putting on a little bit of a show for you. I'm entertaining you. Mm-hmm. I want you to feel like I'm here because of you. I wouldn't mm-hmm. be here just speaking to myself in my room otherwise. I mean, I probably could, but I wouldn't put on makeup for it.
But you're there for the audience, right? Like makeup or no makeup, your message is tailored to the audience as opposed to I'm talking, and I'm going to be really honest here, as opposed to I'm talking to hear myself speak, you're talking to relay a message and you know who you're speaking to and you tailor your message for them. That is
absolutely
beautiful. I think we need to do that in meetings. We need to do that in interviews. We need to do that everywhere. And so I'm going to switch gears just for a quick second here to just talk a little bit more about, you know, as you know, this is a career podcast and, you know, I see a lot of your content and my reaction is always something like, yes, like this is what makes the difference. You know, like this is your, what you're sharing about really it's more than communication. It's communication, but within it, there's confidence, there's assertiveness, there's, you know, just the crafting of a message and the tone and the voice. So where do we begin, expert? Like, where do you think that someone should begin improving their communication skills specifically if they're thinking, I just want to be a better communicator to move up in my career.
Yeah. And this actually links back to a part of your previous question when you talked about how a lot of people stop at being average, at being competent, mm-hmm. at winging it, which really can destroy the idea of you becoming exceptional. So the absolute first thing to do is to understand where you are. Where do your skills stand? Mm-hmm. You have to do some kind of a self-assessment. That's how I start work with all my clients, but it's what I encourage everyone in my community to do as well, whether they're a client or not. Start by literally recording yourself speaking. Just using your phone, which you have on you all day, mm-hmm. taking a keyword or a question about your work, something that you talk about all the time, that you can talk about it in your sleep, and record yourself doing a 1 minute talk on that. It's not even for social media. It's not for anyone else. It's just for you to see how you're coming across. This is such a useful exercise because once you actually see yourself the way that others see you, you have so many light bulb moments. You realize, oh my God, I'm using all these filler words. Oh my God, I'm not even looking at the camera. What the heck am I doing with my hands? So this is pretty much how I learned. Like I was telling you, I've loved the idea of being on stage for a long time, but I have not been good at it throughout that time. When I first started making videos, back when I was a filmmaker, we had this idea of, let's do these behind the scenes videos. Let's record our team getting ready and me directing and my producer producing, and it's going to be fun. It was fun. But every time I talked to the camera, I would say we're doing like this. And when my editor saw it, he would just say, Nasheen, what are you doing? I cannot cut out every like. Can you please talk like a human being?
That's funny.
So absolutely learned the hard way.
Oh, and I think that's something that many of us, you know, I don't know if it's something from the 90s. I feel like it's our generation that tends to have that like, you know, we seem to have been taught don't use And so we just replace the word. And I still to this day am thinking I'm going to video myself and I'm going to count how many times I say the word like or you know.
Okay. Do it. It'll be such a great moment for you.
I've been working on it. So you mentioned something that is not, you know, strictly communication, but it's so powerful. You said that we stop before we get better, right? So you literally said we stop at the point that we wing it. That is, I think, the turning point, the cornerstone where almost everybody gets this fork in the road where they're either going to become great or they're going to be mediocre. And once you make that decision, it's the cycle. It just reinforces itself over and over again, right? And so, I mean, in your opinion, this is, we're just having a conversation now, but like, what are some things that you've noticed that, you know, might pinpoint that moment? Like, how can someone say, you know, I don't even know if I know the answer, but how can someone say, oh, this is the moment in which it's do or die? Like, I'm going to go down the mediocre side, or I'm going to decide that I'm going to become great at this.
Usually when my clients come to me, they have gone through some kind of an almost traumatic experience. They've done a presentation that they thought would go well, but then they watched themselves back and they had that bad aha moment where they thought, wow, I thought I did better than that. What? That's what I sound like? What? I didn't even complete that sentence. Or they've had an even worse moment where they've been winging it, and somehow, because they don't have a process, they don't have something they can rely on, they have one experience where they're just not able to wing it. They go blank, they freeze. So they know in the moment, this is not going well. And I've had clients who've literally had to run off the stage. I've had clients who've had to end their talks early. Or I've had clients who, do an entire podcast, and then they contact the podcast host and tell them, please, could you not upload that episode because I can't get myself to see myself out there that way. So it does stem from trauma, unfortunately, which can be a springing board for you actually working on those skills finally.
Oh, absolutely. You know, there's these negative situations that we think are negative and end in negativity, but it's really our response that decides if that's going to be a positive or a negative thing. And so I'm glad that you brought that up. So you've spoken to, you've trained a lot of speakers and you've spoken in a lot of avenues, and you're both seasoned in your own experience, but also seeing what maybe trips up other people, especially folks that are higher up, you know, people that are confident in what they do, and they just need the ability to communicate that. And so for those situations where you're helping someone who is, you know, very accomplished, what do you think are the barriers? Because I feel like, and I could be wrong, so correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like when we're just beginning and we're not quite intrinsically, internally confident, it is much harder to develop positive speaking, like, you know, strong speaking skills. But when we're really confident in what we do, our message tends to just come out of our natural experience, but there's still training that needs to be had to be an effective communicator. So with those folks that are more accomplished, what do you see as, you know, what do they need to work on?
You're very close to how I approach the work. There's an inner level and there's an outer level. Mm-hmm. So I always start with, where is this person internally? What kind of confidence do they have? Do they have an imposter syndrome? Mm-hmm. What is it that they feel is blocking them from being their most articulate self, their most confident self? I do this exercise, like I was telling you, where I have people do a self-assessment before we start work. And one of the questions on the self-assessment is, what would you ideally love to be known as? And I give people a list of adjectives, you know, confident, energetic, positive, aggressive. I give them a whole bunch. And very, very often, the three most commonly picked adjectives are confident, articulate, and I think the third one is, the third one varies, but more often than not, could be authoritative or it could be authentic. So confident, authentic, articulate. And then I ask them, where do you think you are right now in your confidence, in your authenticity, and in your articulation? Mm-hmm. And people usually rank themselves high on authenticity, medium to low on confidence, and super low on being articulate. So this is a very common thread that I've seen, where a lot of people that are very, very accomplished in their fields, like you're saying, people that know what they are talking about inside out, don't feel like they can articulate their ideas on the fly. So that's really where the work starts, where we do this deep dive into what are the internal barriers. And then, like you mentioned, there are these tools that any good speaker should know about: your energy, your voice modulation, your body language, your expressions, all the tools of the trade, the tips and tricks of the trade that everyone should know about. But the two have a very intrinsic relationship: the inner confidence and then the outer tools. If you have the tools without the inner confidence, then the performance can feel soulless. But if you have the inner confidence without the tools, the performance can be inconsistent. Sometimes you might be all right. Sometimes you'll stumble through your words and not know the right thing to say because you don't have the right tools, even if you have the confidence.
Okay. It's helpful to kind of break it up into those two pieces because, you know, there are folks who are like, I'm naturally a good speaker, and they think, that's all I need, right? And there's so much more than just that natural ability. And so we've talked about what, you know, that fork in the road, mediocre versus a great speaker, but there's great speakers. And then there's like powerhouse speakers, you know, when you know what I'm talking about, like that speaker that you walk away being like, that was life changing, right? Is there, is it really something that is a talent that you develop, that those who are gifted and talented develop that skill and then become powerhouse speakers? And, or is it something that everyday people can work to develop and really become that speaker that is life-changing? Like, where is that combination of nature and nurture?
I really believe that anyone can learn to be a powerhouse speaker. All of those people that we see, your Simon Sinek's and your Brené Brown's, they were all people like you and me. They were people worse off, I'm sure, at one point in their lives when they weren't giving these talks, they weren't on stage, they weren't practicing. So absolutely anyone can choose to work on themselves and rise to that level. And then it comes down to their willingness, their commitment, and then their goals. Do they want to be known and memorable, or do they just want to get by?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's probably, you know, the theme of today's conversation, right? Is, are you willing to do the work to get to where you need to be? And it's a lot of times we think it's mysterious, right? But you broke it down. There's that intrinsic confidence that comes through. It's not just natural, you're just born confident. It comes through putting in the effort in your craft, whatever your topic is, right? And then there's like the actual technique and the tools and speaking. So you have those two to put together. So you've coached a lot of great speakers, right? Is there a story that you'd like to share in terms of like what the speaking experience would be like, or something that you, someone that, you know, especially, you know what I really love? I really love those stories of someone who started in remedial math and now they're this amazing engineer, right? Like, do you have any of those stories to share with us?
Absolutely. I have two stories. One, there was the CEO of a small company. She came to me terrified, traumatized. One of those people that I was telling you about who come after something traumatic has happened. So she was the person who had done a podcast and she got a chance to watch it back, and she was absolutely traumatized by how she was acting. In fact, even before, even during the podcast, she froze. She couldn't really get her words out. She didn't know what was happening. She felt like she was not in control. And then when she watched it, it confirmed her fears, and she couldn't even bear to see that episode online. And so she came to me and said, "Nausheen, this means I'm in trouble because my marketing team wants me to go out and do these talks, do these events, make our company more visible. And this is the best way for us to put ourselves on the map. But I am terrified. I froze doing this one podcast. How can I possibly get up in front of people looking at me and speak to them? I'm just going to say no. I don't know what to do." So we worked together. I absolutely knew she could do it. It was just a matter of figuring out what was it that was holding her back. Mm-hmm. Turns out that she did not realize that when she spoke, she could channel the experiences she's had and the stories she's lived through and speak about them. She was thinking of speaking in a very stilted, traditional, formal way. And of course, that was making her feel terrified because it was all this weird formal language and speeches written by marketing people. All with all due respect to marketing people, sometimes they don't get speeches right, or sometimes PR people don't get speeches right. I've been there. I worked in PR. It's very, very difficult to write from the point of view of the speaker, with the speaker's voice, and in a way that doesn't sound like you're delivering the speech from a podium in the 1980s. So we worked together to really break it down, to make her story very informal, to make her talk very conversational, and to make sure that she can actually say the words that she would say in any conversation. She can say them on stage. She didn't need to go and be some kind of a spokesperson in a suit and tie on that stage, which is what was really making her uncomfortable to the point of not being able to even speak. And she worked very hard for 8 weeks leading up to this event where she had to present her company as part of a panel discussion at this event. I think there were going to be about 300 or 400 people there. It was terrifying. And she worked hard. We went up right up to the event, and then she did the event. And after that, she messaged me saying, "Nasheen, I smashed it. I did it. I was on that stage. I had this rocky start, but as soon as I made my first joke and people laughed, I got this confidence. And then I just kept going and people responded so positively. And I realized I can do it. I can speak in front of people." And this switch had been flipped, you know, this light bulb had gone off. And I was so proud of the work that she'd done. She really tackled that fear head on. And from that point, she's been speaking at events and representing her company. So that's really the kind of transformation that really humbles me when I see people go through that, because that's when you really realize that the barriers are just in their mind.
Oh, it's absolutely life-changing to find your voice and to be able to move people. Like, it's life-changing for you because you found your voice. You found your ability to communicate and feel as confident on the inside as you want to look on the outside. But then there's this, I always think that everyone has this ability to move someone else. It's like a ripple effect, right? But when you don't know what power your voice holds, you kind of just keep it back because you think, oh no, it's not going to make an impression or whatever. And so when you find that voice and you're able to move other people, I feel like that's when other people are then inspired to find their voice too. You know, seeing someone in their strength inspires them. So beautiful. I love that story. You said you had two though. So what is your second story?
Thank you. Yeah, I wanted to pause there because I realized, wow, Nasheen, you've already gone on for a long time. Take a pause. So the second story has more to do with that extraordinariness, because you asked specifically about some kind of a story where someone goes on to do great things. Of course, the CEO went on to do great things, but for her, the great thing was taking that first step. Mm. And the second story is about an influencer, and I can take his name as well, because I've shared his story on my LinkedIn. It's Ruben Hasid, who you might know. He's this AI influencer. He had this meteoric rise on LinkedIn. I think in 2 months or 3 months, he rose from, I want to say, 30 or 40,000 followers to 150,000. I mean, it's crazy. It's unbelievable. And he's the go-to ChatGPT expert now, and he's being sought out. So he came to me a few months ago and he said, "Nasheen, I am going to be speaking on these stages and I'm very comfortable giving webinars and doing calls, but I haven't spoken on a real stage since college." And he was getting invited to speak at these huge events with thousands of people. So we had to really make sure that his expertise was coming through, because this was someone of a different profile. This was someone that people were expecting to be great. That adds extra pressure when you're already a known figure, but you haven't spoken and people are expecting to see you in person. They have high expectations. So there was a lot of stress, a lot of pressure. We worked through his signature talk, what has now become his signature presentation. And he started off by, this is something that I suggested, and I'm so glad that he did it. I realized that his first stage after college cannot be the stage with 1,000 people. It shouldn't be. He should gradually move into it. So I looked up these informal storytelling events, these open mics in Paris, where he was. And I told him, "Ruben, you have to go to these, because this needs to be the real kind of dipping your toes in and then wading into the kiddie pool and then going into the pool with everyone else, with the adults. You need to do it gradually so that there's no shock to your system when you're seeing
the sea of faces in front of you. And he did it. He was a real champ. It was not easy because even if you're in an open mic, there's 30, 40, 50 people in front of you, all of them looking at you, all of them expecting something. And he went there. We worked on a story, his origin story. He delivered that. We went to another one. We recorded these events. We watched them. We analyzed what are the actual kind of natural behaviors that he's showing in offline settings. And we fine-tuned them, addressed them, plucked the gaps, made sure that he could be even exceptional in the things he was already good at. And then we worked towards his big speaking events. And now he's being offered to do really big events with, you know, global audiences. He was flown to Denmark to speak. He was flown to Israel to speak. He just spoke in Paris at this gigantic stadium, like 20,000 people. It's crazy. Wow. So I really believe now he's really destined to capture the bigger stage and to really get off, you know, get out from the screen, from the LinkedIn screen and into real life. So that's one of the success stories I'm also very proud of.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So I had seen the post and I think I can find it and go ahead and link it in the description for y'all to see the post as well. So I had seen the post and there's, you know, a little bit of the story. You see the picture, you see the post, you see the comments, you go and you kind of cyberstalk that person's profile and check them out. Right. But it doesn't do it justice until you hear the story. And I can imagine it still doesn't do it justice unless you're one of the people who were in the room listening to him speak in one of these big spaces. So, but thank you so much for sharing that story. Now we're about to jump into some quick fire questions just to get to know you a little bit. And that way, if anybody wants to work with you, they at least know, you know, a little bit about you. Now, these are silly questions. So
sure.
Nothing crazy here. Let's see. You ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Superman or Batman?
Ah, Superman.
Superman. Okay. Let's see. PJ Bottoms or full attire?
PJ Bottoms. I'm not going to stand up right now.
There you go. Better speakers, men or women?
All genders.
All genders. Okay, let's see. What else do we have here? Are you a cheesecake person or are you more of a cake person?
Cheesecake all the way.
Really? Okay. Breakfast for dinner or dinner for breakfast?
Breakfast for dinner. I'm a huge breakfast person.
Breakfast it is. Yes, breakfast for the win. I'm there too. Fall, winter, or spring?
Or summer. Well, summer's not an option.
I left summer out.
Summer.
Yeah. There it is.
It's always got to be summer.
Awesome. Are you an early riser or a late night owl?
So I was a late night owl for most of my life till I hit my mid-30s. And now I'm an early riser. And like past Nosheen would be like, what's wrong with you? I mean, she would stay up till 3 a.m. no problem. And now like past midnight, I'm like, no, I need my pillow and my bed. Can I please go to sleep?
Mm-hmm. I will follow wherever I am at 11 o'clock. That's it. I'm asleep. So I feel you. I feel you. All right. So awesome. Thank you so much for being a trooper through quick fire questions. The very last thing, and this is probably really good for you because you're used to speaking in, you know, large audiences, but I usually tell folks, imagine that a million people are listening in right now and it is silent because everyone's waiting to hear what you have to say. And what you're about to say in the next minute is going to be remembered. What would you share with folks?
I would say that you are the person standing in the way. And I know because I was that person for the longest time. No one was telling me, Nosheen, you can't do this. Nosheen, you can't have your own business. Nosheen, you can't learn French. Nosheen, you can't live in Europe. Nosheen, you can't have clients who would love to work with you no matter what. Like, no, I was telling myself all those things. So get out of your own way. There is so much that you're capable of, truly capable of, but
till you start believing it, no amount of me saying it or Patricia saying it or anyone else saying it will make any kind of a difference.
Oh, that was amazing. Thank you for sharing that. I think this last minute tends to be a very, you know, a minute where everyone's like, ooh, that was the most important thing, you know, the most important thing out of the entire episode. But you shared so many insights. I doubt that's the case. Either way, tell us where to find you. I know you've got a podcast as well. Where can we find you? How can we work with you? All the good things.
Thank you. I'm always on LinkedIn, as you said. So look me up, Nosheen I Chen on LinkedIn. I'm the only one. And yeah, if you're interested, I do have a podcast. It's called Speak as a Leader. It's everywhere as well. And I am very, very responsive. I usually, this is something I don't tell a lot of people, but I accept a lot of requests, a lot of friend requests. So if you are interested, reach out to me. There's a very high likelihood that I will accept your request and we can have a conversation.
Beautiful. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate you taking the time out.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me, Patricia. This was awesome.